Like 40 miles of bad road, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, the roadside vegetable stand of Medicare podcasts. And now, highly offended by jokes about crackers, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, 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 it's another exciting, thrill-packed episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am so pleased that you joined us today, and I'm looking forward to entertaining you, or at least enlightening you about Medicare for the next 20 minutes or so. And when I say 20 minutes, I say it with a chuckle, because if we ever hit the 20-minute mark that has been our goal since the first episode we ever did, I'll have a heart attack and keel over. We just can't seem to keep our schedule down to that disciplined 20 minutes that we're looking at. But anyway, welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am here to help you understand Medicare and be less fearful of Medicare, and to cross that traditional Medicare line and wind up on the other side with cost-effective protection against high medical bills. That's what Medicare is all about. Medical insurance gets more and more expensive as people get older and they're more prone to long, expensive illnesses. And so Medicare was created to help defray a lot of the costs that medical insurance would normally have covered, but it would have cost so much for people that a lot of them couldn't afford it. They wouldn't buy insurance, and then they had nothing. So back in the 60s, here comes Medicare. Well, what the government did was they created something that's so convoluted and so confusing and so complicated that they really can't do a very good job of explaining it themselves. They threw people to the wolves when they turned 65. And so it became the job of people like me to help you understand Medicare. Now, how can I do that best? I do it by providing you with a book. It's not a very big book, and it's certainly not a very expensive book. It's called Medicare for the Lazy Man, and the current edition is 2023. So Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. If you go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and you put that into the search window along with the numbers, you're going to find the newest edition of the Medicare guide that will prove to be your salvation, I hope. Most readers that contact me have said that the book was really helpful in making them feel more secure, more confident in their approach to Medicare. And when they ask me to act as their agent, then I am able to complete the process of making them feel comfortable about the transition to Medicare by helping them purchase the additional insurance that is needed to plug the holes and fill the gaps in Medicare. So I'm hoping that you and I will meet each other one day, or at least talk to each other, in order to complete your transition to Medicare in the most satisfactory way possible. In the meantime, buy the book, read the book. If you have questions, ask them. My contact information is in the book. It'll also be at the end of this episode. And I would look forward to hearing from you whenever it's convenient for you. Now, talk about convenience. Here's a guy who finds convenience to be a way of life. His name is Randy Carson, and I'm glad to have him joining us for this episode. Hello, Randy.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Doug. Obviously, you see, you know, based on the screen that I'm traveling. I think I'm heading towards Florida today on the Medicare for the Lazy Man yacht, and otherwise that's known. We did actually name her, and the name of the Medicare for the Lazy Man yacht is the Mary Margaret.
And is that so the wives won't complain?
Yes, that's absolutely true. We're heading towards Florida today. We're coming down, you know, the west coast of California, and we're going around. You know, it's going to be a long trip, but we'll get there.
I know it's a long trip like that is going to be just murder for you. That's a, like a nightmare.
I know. It's just brutal. I don't. Why do I always have to do all this traveling, Doug?
Well, if it weren't you, then I guess I'd have to do it. So thank you for allowing me the free time to work and shuffle papers and help people all day long. I swear, as the owner of Medicare for the Lazy Man, someday I would like to take a ride on the Medicare for the Lazy Man yacht, SS Medicare for the Lazy Man, as it were. So someday, if you manage to get anywhere close to Arizona, I would just like to step on board once and see what my hard-earned money has bought.
Well, you know what I'm doing out here in California, right?
I thought you were in Florida. What happened to that?
No, I'm heading towards Florida.
Oh, okay.
But right now I'm coming down the West Coast. I was out here participating in an episode of Below Deck.
No kidding.
You know, they paid me a really handsome fee for bringing the yacht out and letting them do some filming on it. You'll probably see that coming through in on the receivables just any day now.
Okay, I'll be watching those receivables carefully because obviously that boat is not cheap to run.
No, it's not. It's literally hundreds and thousands of dollars a year, and so far, I don't know how to get from point A to point C any cheaper.
I might have started with one of those boats that cost $12 to get through the Panama Canal, but that was probably too much work to sit there and paddle your way through the canal.
Yeah, it really was. I tried it one time and I just said, well, you know, I need something different.
I need something bigger that Doug will pay for. well, you know, congratulations on being smart enough to work out a scam like that, that I'm having difficulty finding fault with. So enjoy the boat. And whenever you get to where the airplane, the Medicare for the Lazy Man airplane is parked, then say hello to it for me, will you? Because I have never seen that.
I will. It's actually, you know, I shouldn't probably tell you, but I purchased the last 747 that was built.
No kidding. Wow. So that had gone through the auction at, say, Barrett Jackson, that would get a huge price. Did that cost extra to get the very last one that was built?
It did. It cost a pretty penny. And it was the very last 747 built, which was just recently. It was actually a couple months ago. But also very expensive was to, you know, outfit the inside.
Well, of course, because it's going to look like Air Force One, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, there's that part. But, you know, so whenever I get it all outfitted and, you know, I'm right now I'm looking for a company pilot. I'll let you know and we'll meet you down at Sky Harbor and you can take a peek before we take off on vacation.
All right. That's I'll clear my calendar and I will never miss that appointment to see my airplane. Boy, I'll tell you, it's great. It's great to help people out, but it doesn't pay that well. And everything, all the profits go out the door for other expenses, and it's kind of confusing to me, but I'm going
to
trust your judgment.
You got to spend money to make money. That's what they tell me.
Well, I'm going to trust your judgment on that. So look what we have.
I got to spend Doug's money to make money. That's what I got to do.
Well, it seems to be working out for you. So kudos to you. the challenges, here we go. This is going to be a cool article, I hope. The challenges of choosing Medicare coverage. How does that sound, Randy? The views from insurance brokers and agents. So finally, somebody asked insurance brokers and agents about the challenges of choosing Medicare coverage. Now, the first part of this article says many Medicare beneficiaries lack objective information about the trade-offs of the different coverage options. They rely instead on advice from insurance brokers and marketing claims. Well, insurance brokers and marketing claims are subject to being bought off by the outrageously high commissions that Medicare Advantage plans generally pay their agents. So I'm not sure that either Most insurance brokers and marketing claims can be relied on to the extent this article seems to think that they are relied upon. So the next paragraph says, most insurance brokers and agents advising Medicare beneficiaries say they earn much higher commissions. Aha, what did I say? For enrolling people in Medicare Advantage plans versus Medicare supplement plans. And there's some variation on that, according to this article. So what have I got here? Focus groups. The number of participants, 29. Number of groups, 4. Number of people, various ages. They've got 2 people in this focus group of 70 plus, 6 people in ages 60 to 69, and everybody else is under age 60. That doesn't seem right for a Medicare supplement focus group. Ethnicity, white, 14%, black, 9%, Hispanic, 3%, Eskimos, 1%, Asian, 1%, multiracial, 1%. And this goes on and on to describe the participants. Let's skip over that and go to Medicare beneficiaries must weigh several trade-offs when deciding among their coverage options, whether they choose a private Medicare Advantage plan or a traditional Medicare with supplemental coverage. Now, let's keep in mind that Medicare Advantage plans are sold by insurance companies, which some people on the left side of the aisle don't like because they are private enterprises, but also Medicare supplement plans are sold by the same insurance companies, which are private enterprises. So they're both sold by private companies. And it goes on to say, for example, Medicare Advantage plans typically provide benefits not included in traditional Medicare, such as eyeglasses coverage, as well as a limit on out-of-pocket expenses for medical services. Traditional Medicare, on the other hand, allows beneficiaries to go to any doctor, hospital, or provider that accepts Medicare without the need for prior approval. For help in making these decisions, nearly one-third of beneficiaries age 65 or older said they turn to an insurance broker or agent. Well, I've got to correct that paragraph in one respect. Medicare Advantage plans do sometimes provide benefits to a very limited extent, benefits that are not included in traditional Medicare. However, if you take traditional Medicare plus a Medicare supplement, then you will have all of the advantages of traditional Medicare with a very strict limit on your out-of-pocket costs, whereas Medicare Advantage out-of-pocket limits are very, very high. In the neighborhood of $8,300, I believe, this year, and that's if you stay in the network. But if you have a lot of medical bills or hospitalization, the Medicare Advantage plans are going to rake you over the coals financially, whereas the Medicare supplement plans will cover those expenses in a way that most people will find to be quite satisfactory. So it goes on to say, beneficiaries lack information, however, about how brokers and agents winnow down plan options and what role financial incentives might play in the advice they give. Given the wide use of brokers and agents and the potential impact of their guidance on beneficiaries' coverage choices, the Commonwealth Fund partnered with the public opinion research firm Perry Undem, never heard of it, to learn their perspectives on the state of insurance coverage choices and the challenges their clients face in choosing an option and the ways in which their financial incentives align or conflict with beneficiaries' interest. In September of 2022, that firm, Perry Undem, held 4 focus groups with more than 24 brokers and agents who sell Medicare Advantage plans, Medicare supplement coverages, and Part D prescription drug plans. The participants were diverse with respect to age, gender, race, ethnicity. Oh, let's make sure everybody's diverse. And the world is so much better ever since diversity became so damned important. Anyway, focus group details we kind of went over. The highlights were, in general, most brokers and agents in the focus groups recall receiving higher commissions, sometimes much higher commissions, for enrolling people in Medicare Advantage plans compared to Medigap supplemental plans. I think what they mean to say is Medicare supplement plans for traditional Medicare. with some variation by geographic region and new enrollment versus renewals. Yes, the new enrollments pay, I think this year they're allowed to pay about $600 per enrollee and into a Medicare Advantage plan, and the renewals are exactly half of that, $300. Brokers and agents said they tend to sell a combination of traditional Medicare with a Medigap policy to beneficiaries with higher incomes and Medicare Advantage plans to those with lower incomes. Most brokers and agents said that they personally would choose traditional Medicare with Medigap or Medicare supplement, believing that the combination offers better coverage and choices than Medicare Advantage, particularly as people age. Well, what have I been screaming to the rooftops about? Most brokers agree with me. They would personally purchase regular Medicare with a Medicare supplement plan rather than Medicare Advantage because as they age, the choices are much more attractive to them. So moving on with this article, alignment of financial incentives with the beneficiary's interest. The beneficiaries are the people who are covered by Medicare and the Medicare supplement or Medicare Advantage plans. How brokers and agents are compensated for their services varies and can be complex. Commonly, they contract with multiple insurance carriers that pay commissions based on beneficiary enrollment in the Medicare Advantage, Medigap, or Medicare supplement, or Part D plans they sell. Brokers and agents are not required to contract with all available plans in an area, nor are they required to offer all plans to beneficiaries. Beginning in 2022, brokers and agents who don't offer all plans in the area are required to disclose that fact to their clients, although they are not required to disclose what proportion of plans in the area they sell or how their compensation differs across plans. In addition to commissions, there are often opportunities for supplemental compensation for meeting enrollment benchmarks or carrying out other activities for plans such as beneficiary health risk assessments. That's those questionnaires that a Medicare Advantage plan will bribe an insurance agent to twist the arm of their client to fill out the health risk assessment that they then take to the federal government and they say, you know, that money you're paying us for each enrollee in the Medicare supplement or the Medicare Advantage plan, pay us more because our enrollees are sicker than average. That's frankly, those are the forms that are also faked too often. They've been discovered to have been faked so that the government pays out money to these fraudsters and for medical conditions that don't exist. This article goes on to say most brokers and agents said they are paid more to enroll people in Medicare Advantage plans than in traditional Medicare. I think we covered that, but it still bears repeating. With some variation by geographic region, most focus group participants said, in general, they receive higher commissions for Medicare Advantage plans rather than Medicare supplement. One broker recalled getting paid three times more to sell a Medicare Advantage plan, even with the commissions for standalone prescription drug plans added to the Medigap commission. Most brokers and agents said that Medicare Advantage commissions were much higher. Brokers and agents also said relative commissions differ for the new enrollments versus the renewals, with some reporting that the latter can be higher and more reliable for Medicare supplement. New enrollments can be higher, more profitable for the agent? I don't think so. Let's see. A lot of times you're pushing an Advantage plan when somebody wants the freedom of choice of doctor or hospital, which would be a supplement plan. Now, a California broker apparently was asked, and he said, according to brokers and agents, or no, not he said, they apparently drew this information from a California broker. Yes. Okay. According to brokers and agents, the commission structure of Medigap plans, that's Medicare supplement, incentivizes the sale of plans charging high premiums. Most beneficiaries with Medigap plans chose higher premium plans that provide comprehensive coverage, such as plans G or F. Well, I encourage people to consider high deductible G or high deductible F, or as Randy has termed them, high value plans. That's because they value the peace of mind knowing that nearly all of traditional Medicare's cost sharing will be covered. But for beneficiaries on a tight budget, it may make more sense to have Medicare coverage like plans K or L. Way too complicated. You want to consider high deductible plan G. That is where your cost savings are going to be the most apparent and the easiest to understand. Such lower premium plans, however, usually provide low fees for the brokers and agents, since the commission for Medicare supplement plans are often a percentage of the plan premium. As one broker said, if I was to enroll in Medicare today, I might be inclined to take a Medicare supplement plan, but one that I offer rarely to my clients, which is a high deductible plan. Aha! Finally, some truth. This agent said that he would purchase the high deductible plan G. The commission structure thus may result in some beneficiaries paying more than they need to. Moreover, some research has concluded the comprehensive Medigap coverage leads to higher Medicare spending. That's incredibly stupid. Commissions for standalone Part D plans were viewed as too low and not worth the time, creating some problems for beneficiaries. While the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services sets a maximum for Part D commissions, it doesn't set a minimum, leading to some brokers to believe they're not being fairly compensated. I agree with that. The commission structure for Medicare Part D prescription drug plans is pathetic, but it's necessary for those of us who want to have a satisfied clientele to help them figure out the best Medicare drug plan to buy. And that includes measuring the drugs that they take, plus the places that they want to fill their prescriptions, such as which chain of drugstores. And then you plug all that into the Medicare.gov website. You plug that into their database, and it will tell you which of the 23 or so drug plans is going to be the least expensive for that particular client. So I'll just finish up this little part of the article. It says that a lot of these carriers, companies that sell Medicare drug plans, don't compensate you at all due to a prescription drug to do a prescription drug plan. Low commissions don't incentivize brokers and agents to help people in traditional Medicare reevaluate their Part D plan each year, even though a plan's coverage can change from year to year. Some brokers described clients coming to them without a Part D plan or other drug coverage despite being on Medicare for years, because their previous broker had never enrolled them in a Part D plan. These enrollees consequently have to pay a Part D late enrollment penalty each month for the remainder of their years on Medicare, and they cannot enroll in a Part D plan until the next open enrollment period. Brokers and agents can earn extra income from conducting beneficiary health risk assessments during the Medicare Advantage enrollment process. This is the bad news for clients. They want to find out how sick you are so that they can go back to the federal government and say, this person is sick. We want more money than you originally promised. And that's a very lucrative activity. So all focus group participants who sold Medicare Advantage plans said that they got paid to complete health risk assessments when their clients enrolled in a new Medicare Advantage plan. Many characterize the assessments as an easy way to earn extra money, as they take only around 5 minutes to complete. It's unclear if the assessment completed by brokers and agents is provided to beneficiaries' primary care physicians, or whether it informs beneficiaries' care management or helps to expedite additional resources and benefits to them. Medicare Advantage plans will give you a bonus for doing a health risk assessment, and that's been going up now, $75 to $100 on some. All right, I'm going to stop there because the rest of this I'll save for another time, but it's indicative of everything that Randy and I have been telling you, that Medicare Advantage plans do not provide the same level of satisfaction for their clients as Medicare supplement plans, and Medicare supplement plans pay less money, so more of the money in the system is actually put to use taking care of patients and paying the medical bills. So once again, my conscience is right. Don't touch Medicare Advantage plans. Only sell Medicare supplement plans and my clients will be better served for it. So, Randy, that's it. I think we've learned a valuable lesson today, which is I'm right again.
Well, I am shocked on one point.
On the fact that I'm right about something? Or?
No. I'm shocked that they found an agent that admitted that he makes decisions based on how much money he's going to make versus what's right for his client.
Right. And then we find that some of these people have never been sold the right products by their agents. Years and years of life without drug plans because the agents couldn't be bothered for selling a product that basically pays little or no commission. And all of a sudden, the people are stuck having to buy a drug plan, and they've got to pay a lifetime late enrollment penalty because their agent did not properly instruct them when they were first ready for Medicare.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, if your agent walks in your house to discuss your options with Medicare supplement plans or Medicare Advantage plans, that's the first question out of his mouth going, wow, you look sicker than I thought you were. Let's fill out this form.
You look pretty healthy, but there's got to be something wrong with you. Let's find out.
I need to find something else wrong with you because I'll make $75 for doing it. So that's just, you have stood the test of time with your opinions and your directions. And I think my alternate label for Medicare Advantage plans has stood the test of time.
Absolutely.
In that I called it Medicare Scam Vantage.
You certainly did. And you also were the one who coined the term Medicare Disadvantage.
Yes, until other people started using it. I should have trademarked it.
Reclaim your ownership of that. Proudly stand up and say, I invented that. Medicare Disadvantage.
Medicare Disadvantage, Medicare Scam Vantage. You can look back or listen back on some of our podcasts in the early days, and you will find that I was the one that coined that phrase, along with another one of my favorites, Obama Don't Care.
Well, listen, we could do this all day long. I have an idea the audience is getting restless. And they probably want you to let them go.
Well, we always have a blast talking to the audience because they're such a good group of folks. We spend 75 cents regularly to do this podcast, but it is over with. But we've spent our 75 cents and the clock has run out. But before we do, I would like to remind you again that Doug Jones is a licensed agent nationwide and and Washington, D.C. to help you with your Medicare supplement plans and drug plans, actually, too. And he also loves to get email. Write this down. He will love to hear from you at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check out our website at medicareforthelazyman.com. We talked about all the various ways you can get a hold of his book and in what forms. If you can find a way to give us a rating on the book, log into Amazon, say a few words about it, give us a few stars and say something about it. That would be awesome. And also the podcast too. But today we need to go ahead and land the plane. You have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, now living in Cave Creek, Arizona, up in the high mountains behind the city, in his really cool, air-conditioned and heated Fortress of Solitude.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll see you all next time. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.